people and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, welcome to the party, pals. Last week I was gone, had some things going on, and
we didn't even notice.
You didn't? We're good.
Were you here? We didn't even notice, Brad.
Don't worry about my mom. Don't ask about her.
We were talking to you the whole time, and you just didn't answer.
Poor lady falls down and breaks her hip, and you guys don't even give a shit. Thanks a lot.
She fell and broke her hip?
Yeah.
Oh, really? No, Brad. I always ask about your mom. The one day I don't, something happened.
The one, you know, we're always so careful and everything, and I drained my pool, okay, to have it resurface, and I hear this like loud noise, and I look out the kitchen window, and there goes my mom.
No,
and she went in the deep end on her skateboard.
Oh, okay.
Shredding pretty well, but when she went to hit the coping and do a coping grind, she hit the old coping, overshot, went down.
So, never get a straight answer out of Brad, guys. No, never get a straight answer.
But, you know, He's hiding the fact that Brad broke her hip.
No, I told the doctor, I told her surgeon that, who put the pins in, and he goes, she rides a skateboard? I go, I'm just kidding you, man. But
that guy walks out, he's like, fucking Brad, every time he comes in here.
We all walk out.
I'll walk out of there. They're going to send a note home that says, the next time she has an issue, can Charlotte bring her in?
Exactly. Yeah.
Getting out of it.
Great answer, Charlotte.
You know, it's like when you do laundry and then you throw in a red rag. That way, the wife's like, "You're never doing laundry again." Right. You're like, "Oh, darn!
I can't do it again."
Yeah. No. Oh, you're right. I should do that again. I'm so bad at it.
What really happened was, you know, we're real careful with her, of course. And for those of you who don't know, my mom's 91 and a half, so she's getting up there. She gets around real well, very well, but sometimes she tries to do something on her own, and she was getting ready for bed, sat her down. She was all ready, had her teeth brushed, the whole deal. And I walked out of the room for a minute, heard a thump, and I'll tell you, man, I freaked out because I come around the corner and all I see is red everywhere. Okay. And she had red all over her shirt, all over the sheets of the bed, all over the carpet. And I'm like, oh, you know, and she's laying there with her head under the table. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I go running in, and she had looked over after she was already in bed, looked over and saw her red Solo cup full of red juice, across the room, decided to get up and get it herself. And, on her way back, we don't know what happened, but she obviously lost her balance. And tried to regain it because she had spun around and she was laying on her back and the juice had gone everywhere and it looked like blood, man.
I can imagine that scary. Let's go to like a blue Gatorade or something. Let's at least switch colors. That way, if there is any red, then you know where it stands out, right?
Exactly. Hey,
let's switch to some other color.
Orange, you know, I mean, something.
Yeah. Something other than red.
I just like that Brad said teeth instead of tooth. Teeth.
Yeah. I thought what he was going to say, she brushed her teeth. She just took them out and put them in a machine. And then
Come on.
Well done, Brad.
Very proud of her teeth. So
She is very proud of her teeth. I got them all.
I'm 90. I got them all.
Isn't that
amazing? Wow.
It is. Like,
we joke because we all know your mom. We all love your mom. She's been out with us many times. Years ago at Bear Jackson, and she hangs out at the bar afterward, and picks a fight with Reggie Jackson.
I know
that might have been Mikey. I'm not sure who that was, but I'm pretty sure your mom was there.
She was egging him on.
But
she's good.
She's ornery.
She fell. Evaluated her. I got her up on the bed, and she was like, "I just want to go to sleep." I'm like, "No, mom, you're going to the hospital." "No, I'm not." After a little bit of argument, got her in her wheelchair, I had to lift her into the truck and then lift her out into the wheelchair and got her into the emergency room. And we found out she had a hairline crack in her hip, and they put like three, the next day she was in surgery getting three screws. And
wow.
And
not
so
screwdrivers.
No,
not screwdrivers.
No, not drinks, not tasty beverages.
Yeah, I just have three screwdrivers and call your doctor in the morning. So, but no, she's doing real good, guys, and she's recovering and already up doing doing therapy. You know, she's at a recovery facility and doing therapy, and so fingers crossed. But that's why I wasn't here last week. I wasn't just out having fun. The other thing is, let's get into the show because we got a lot to talk about today. The first thing is, you guys don't even know this, but on Wednesday, I started filming the second season of iCrime with Elizabeth Vargas.
And oh, cool.
We started filming the second season, and, you know, it's you can find it at iCrime.tv. It's a syndicated show, everybody, so that means that it's on different channels, different networks by where you are. So if you go to iCrime.tv, you can find where it's at in your area, when it airs and things like that. Some people get it four times a day. Some people get it, you know, once a week. Who knows? But I'm the official auto expert, and we do things like I get to watch people break into dealerships and then explain why it was so easy, or you know, guys.
Well, back when I was breaking into dealerships,
that's right. Yeah,
I will say I can't go into detail, but one of the episodes that I comment on this week was one of those darn Mustang drivers who got out of control leaving a show. So, and they asked me, why is it always a Mustang driver? And I said, well. So
let me phone up my friend and expert.
I think it's because we're at to the point where anytime there's an event, people just film all the Mustangs leaving because they
right.
think something's going to happen. And then, but there was a crazy video that was, I don't know, making the rounds on Instagram again, where a guy took off in a Viper and he just veered to the right and hit a pole. And this is, you know, those like Gen 1 Vipers are basically hand built. And
yeah, they are.
I mean, the car made a lot of noise, you know, and it seemed like it was going, but it wasn't going that fast. He didn't go that far. Hit like a pole, and it just crushes the entire front end. Fiberglass shatters everywhere. That car just, it's like, Viper's cool, but it just shatters into pieces. But maybe you'll see that on
the... Have you seen the one of like a... It's maybe a 36 Chevy sedan hot rod. Guy comes out of the show and he jumps on it, gets out of control. There's a semi coming the other way. He hits the side of the semi. The car kind of starts to go under it and then gets spit out by the back wheels. But as it spins around, the guy in the back seat gets launched through the back window, and it's a stationary window. You know, it's in like with rubber. Mm-hmm. So you see the window start to come out. You see his head and his shoulders come out. Then the window flops back. And at the end, he's like, his arms and his shoulders and his head are out of the window. And we don't know the rest of the story. I was like, is this guy all right? You know, yeah. But I mean, these people, man. Everybody, if you're going to leave, or anytime you jump on your car, make sure your wheels are straight. Your front
right,
wheels.
Right. Here
is the biggest thing.
I definitely have two comments about this. Is, of course, be smarter. But two, if you're going to leave like a maniac, make sure your wheels are straight.
Yeah.
And two, if you're filming it, film and post the whole damn thing.
Right. Like, don't do it. Yeah. Like, listen, my car got repossessed, or.
There's the crazy video of the Ram TRX, the dark gray Ram TRX with the twin turbo on it, like kind of like stops off the side of a freeway. And you see them launch, and it's so much power. It lifts the front wheels off on that truck, and the damn thing's doing a wheelie. I saw that clip 1,000 times on everyone's account. But then I saw the full clip. And the full clip is he does the launch, does the wheelie, loses control, smashes into a pole on the side of the freeway.
Oh, you know that's AI generated, right?
I sure hope it is.
It is. Now, Matt, the one I saw posted.
Yeah.
When you look at how it's traveling, it's clearly a game. It's clearly
CGI. Well, I don't even know if it's a game. I just think it's AI.
And this drives me nuts because people repost fucking video games. And you're like, did you see this? It was amazing. I can't believe the guy survived. It's a fucking video game, people. Yeah. You don't know the difference between CGI and the real thing. Just look at the guy on the motorcycle, the way he travels across the landscape. It's not real.
It's not real.
His rubber arms. And it's like, come on.
Even if you're going to post the game clip, post the whole thing. I want to see the crash. Oh, I got especially you. If it's yeah. a game. Even if it's yeah. a game, I want to see the crash. But
I want to see the kid. I want to see the 12-year-old with the headphones on go, oh, man, they're yeah, going to my credits.
Yeah. I'm telling mom.
Hey, and speaking of great, you know, things visually, how about that Concept X Porsche? Is that thing absolutely yes. gorgeous?
Wow.
Okay, I like it. I think it's cool as hell. It's all electric. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I don't care. It looks fucking awesome. I mean, the car is just gorgeous, you know? I mean, it's if I was a billionaire and I could call Porsche up and say, hey, will you build me one of those? I don't care how much it costs.
What? Okay, so here's the thought, though. I love the interior. So,
yeah.
So Goldberg and I were talking about this on CarCast earlier in the week. We were talking about...
What, about buying one with Bravago money?
I wish. We were talking about the collectability of hybrid and electric vehicles, especially in the supercar world. And Aaron, like some of your dad's experiences may sort of contributed to this thought process is these cars... so many of these cars, especially the early versions, LaFerrari, McLaren P1, mm-hmm. they create this battery technology and it works great. And they go, oh, we tested it. It's got thousands and thousands of miles on it. Yeah. I go, yes, but did you test it sitting in a showroom doing nothing for 2 years? That's the issue that I wonder is what happens to the battery? Does the battery degrade? Like how many times are you calling for warranty work going, my shit won't start anymore because the battery failed or it's been on a trickle charger or it's been on, like, if you don't use the electric drivetrain cars, I don't know how well they're going to be able to sit. So getting into
even beyond that, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay. What do they say about your computer? Just in general, that what your computer should last about what maybe 4 or 5 years, but then you have to replace it because it's outdated and everything like that.
Right. That they just
what
won't
are we going to be looking at? Because we know that I have a computer right here that's perfect. It's a Mac. It's got a huge screen and everything. I just had a new hard drive put in it. Had it upgraded to the one I can put in it, and the guy goes, yeah, but you're two generations behind. We can't go anymore. That computer just won't take it. He goes, so pretty much it's good for surfing the internet like that, but running apps like that, no. We're going to see that with cars, and not just supercars, but all cars, where technology will progress and you'll take it in for service and they'll go, we don't service that generation anymore. You know?
Right. Like,
that's exactly true. Yeah.
Listen, when we start taking, you know, Lamborghini or McLaren P1s to auction in another 10 years from now. By the way, it's already getting up there in age.
Yeah.
Another 10 years from now, it's going to have to be part of like the auction specs going, oh, right, the, you know, this car has a certain amount of miles. And then there's probably going to be a way for McLaren to plug in a scanner and go, this battery has, you know, 70% life cycle. Like you can do it on your phone. You can do it on your Mac laptop. And it tells you when you go to resell your iPhone, you can look and it'll tell you like, what's the life of the battery? How many times has it cycled? Things like that. Right. So now what we're finding out on things like laptops and EVs, like my Ford Lightning, is don't necessarily charge it to 100%.
Right.
Slow charge it, trickle charge it. My new Mac laptop, I mean, it's new, but it's like 3 or 4 years old. I keep it plugged in all the time. And the software that runs it never charges the battery to 100%. It keeps it in like a 60, 70% state because it's trying to optimize the battery. We're ahead of the game with iPhones and laptops, mm-hmm. I think, more so than we are in cars. Like, they say for my Ford Lightning, you shouldn't charge it to 100% unless you absolutely need to, you need the mileage. And I can set in there the maximum charging cutoff. I can go only charge it to 90%. And every time it charges, even if I plug it in overnight and leave it there, it'll stop at 90%. Right. And they say when you go to the super fast chargers, that, you know, charges, you know, get you 100 miles in 20 minutes. That hurts the battery ultimately if you do that a lot. Like if you're doing a commute and you're stopping off at the Walmart and you're, you know, getting 60 miles of charge in 10 minutes, like that hurts the battery.
It's steroids for your battery.
It really kind of is.
Totally.
I mean, it's like drinking three Red Bulls is what it's happening. Instead of like sipping on a little bit of coffee. Well, in Brad's case.
Clearly, guys, Brad's in his 30s.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's just a thought that we were talking about going, well, the mission, this Concept X is really cool. They're saying it could be a production vehicle. And it's great, but this is such a collectible car. Like, where are we going to be with battery technology? What kind of warranty calls and stuff and complaints are customers going to give in to Porsche and go, what's the deal with the battery?
Well, look at the 918 and stuff. I think they've been successful with that, haven't they, Brad?
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at the LaFerrari, because we've got one in the family here, right?
Yeah.
That battery system is very specialized. 20 years from now, because we know that Ferrari is not going to have this huge, you know, finite or infinite battery stockpile. So when they run out and somebody shows up and goes, hey, I need a brand new battery because mine won't charge anymore. What do we do then? And that's
They've already done it. So I believe I may get this wrong, but as memory serves, they started with an 80 amp battery and 12 volt 80 amp battery, just as like the running battery. And now they've converted the whole system and inverter system to, I think, a 60 amp. So Dad's been having this issue. He's on his, I don't know, third or fourth battery system. I've lost track. He did get him warrantied, but here's the catch, and I'll share it. I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I'm going to share it because I think it's important to know this stuff. Servicing. So there's service intervals. You got to, you know, we talked about a Bugatti. Dad's like, maybe I'll get a Bugatti. I'm like, no, you don't want a Bugatti. Here's your service interval.
You can only go to four places to have the tires changed.
Yeah, exactly. And every second time you got to get new rims, and you know, it's crazy. So Ferrari has the same thing with the LaFerrari, and you really have to drive it. If you don't drive it, that's when you're having all these problems that we're discussing.
Yes.
So part of the problem is it dies. And you know, you're a collector, you're a car guy to a point, but you're not going to pull the battery out of that thing and bench test it and go, screw you, Ferrari, it's fine. Well, guess what? If you take that battery out and you bench test it and you charge it on the bench, it's fine. But every time you call Ferrari, they come and they charge you, you know, up to 40 grand for that charger and charging system and battery, including, you know, disassembly and install. And reassembly, and it's pretty easy to take out. It's on the left driver's side, rear left quarter panel. But I mean, Dad saved all that money because he had a Ferrari tech, a certified tech who is now independent, come over, remove it, bench charge it, and it tested 100%. Didn't even test like, 80% because it went to zero. It tested 100% because they're a lithium ion type of battery, so they can go to zero. And so now we look back and go, well, what about those other three or four times that we had to do this? And there is a Ferrari collector, and I talked to someone about this, who sold his entire collection because he was tired of Ferrari. He had to wait. They made him wait, and he's not driving the car, and it's off the, you know, it's not charging. That's the whole problem. And during the wait period, it expired in warranty or something. And then Ferrari said, okay, you owe us this. And he's like, well, wait a minute. You made me wait. I didn't wait. You made me wait. And now it's expired, you know, kind of thing. And he got so pissed, he sold his whole Ferrari collection. So it is an ordeal. Dad's has been fixed. It's been updated. Everything's good now. But yeah, it is like, where's your confidence in a near $5 million car? Yeah, this is a big problem. And that's why I asked, does Porsche have this problem?
And you can take it another step farther. And this is pure speculation, everyone. We're not saying, you know, because I don't want anybody to, you know, choke on the food. But take it down to what we can all afford. Let's just say, and I'm not using any brand in particular, I'm just going to use this as an example, but let's say Rivian, you buy a Rivian truck. Let's say we get down the road 10 years, and we've seen this again and again. The electric vehicles are all going crazy. We're all buying them. And let's say that there is, oh, some mergers and acquisitions. A larger company buys Rivian or whatever it is at that time and merges it in. Now, your older Rivian, you were always going to be taken care of. But the new company that buys them goes, yeah, part of our thing is that we're not going to service any of those older vehicles. With a gas combustion engine, you can always service it. But as they become more electronic, more electric, all of that becomes an issue. And not just in electric. And I'm sorry I used Rivian if that offends anybody. It could just as easily be any other company. It's just what came to mind. I don't want to get sued is what I'm saying.
I mean, companies that produce a high volume of cars, like the Rivian wants to get to, Prius, you know, like things like that, it stands to reason that you'll start to see inexpensive aftermarket versions of those batteries come available or be able to rebuild it. Now, you get into this weird territory where, and again, not to really pick on anybody, but you're going to have companies that go, we'll take your Prius battery, we'll rebuild it, replace dead cells, and it'll cost you a fraction of the price. Granted, the dead cells that they're replacing is going to get replaced with a cheap, shitty version. It's probably something from China or whatever, right?
Hey, Matt, all now, the batteries are from China now.
So. they're all basically coming from. Yeah, I mean, we already know like all the materials from the battery need to come from China. Now, obviously, that doesn't fly when you're spending $3, $4, or $5 million on a car. You know, you don't go, hey, I need my battery rebuilt. You would think. I spoke to Tavares, YouTuber. He bought the McLaren P1.
He's got that one that he's doing, yeah.
And since he already did a McLaren and rebuilt it, he's pretty experienced now on where to source stuff and who to call. And he's called, you know, McLaren a bunch of times and tried to source some things. Now, they're not a fan of him rebuilding a P1, so they're kind of out.
Right.
But yeah, he's found companies that other P1 owners are having issues, and they're saying, well, we are working with a company that's been able to do something with the battery or rebuild the battery, replace cells, and reduce the wiring.
They're over $100,000.
I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I talked to him yesterday. He's got everything figured out.
Good. Freddie's a cool guy.
No, he's putting an LS motor in it.
Oh, yeah, right. He should.
Okay. Yeah, like everybody else, you know, you put an LS motor in all your problems are solved.
He's definitely done some interesting things. Like on the other one, I think he's got the 600 LT or the 620, 650 or something. And, you know, he talked to McLaren, and McLaren, he said this car was wrecked. The tub is damaged. Not in like a real load-bearing point, but it's damaged. And they're like, you got to throw the car away. And, you know, and he talked to some, you know, carbon fiber guys and stuff like that. And they're just experts at carbon fiber. They just looked at him and like, carbon fiber is carbon fiber. That's what we know. And they were able to repair it and do what they wanted. And
patches.
I wouldn't throw my mom away. I put a few screws in and we're done.
Yeah. That's right. Right. Yeah.
Stepford mom.
So, I mean, yes, but nobody's really doing what Tavares is doing, right?
Yeah.
If you own a LaFerrari, you know, or P1 or, you know, 918 or something, you don't want to send your cars to him and go, hey man, I you know, now you're the guy that's going to start rebuilding these things. That's not the business he's in.
Well, you're not going to get your next allocation from Ferrari or Porsche.
Right.
Or,
yeah. Yeah. Right. But McLaren, I don't know. It does. Yeah. It does kind of ask, I am curious to know.
I have my co-part. Yeah, I have my co-part allocation.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, hey, I mean, we hear the stories about your dad and his Ferrari, and he got it all worked out, you know, but
finally, they finally upgraded and updated the system. It's talking to it's each other. That was the problem all along, is systems weren't talking to each other. So now they got that worked out.
There's a couple hundred other LaFerrari owners, and some of them probably have and probably some have a lot of miles on their cars, you know, for La Ferrari miles.
Yeah.
And some that don't. And I'm curious, you know, what that group is. Listen,
it's the ones that don't.
And it's not like Ferrari is very forthcoming with all the statistics, right? They're not on the forums and calling, you know, Edmonds and going, hey, this is where we are with Ferraris these days. You know, like they're not telling the issues.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's that poor guy who bought one and, you know, it was like everything he had. And then he's like, how much is this service?
I remember filming something at the Peterson Museum, I think, and they have a Bugatti Veyron,
right?
Which I think was one of the last cars that Mr. Peterson bought before he passed away.
Yeah,
so it's a very famous car in their collection. The 12 volt battery for that car, I want to say, is like in the front, bumper under the headlight, like in the driver's side. It's kind of complicated to get to.
And
they called Bugatti and there was an issue with like the doors not opening. It's all electronic. And they're like, oh, you need a battery. You got to lift the car and you got to take the, you know, the shield off under the front. The bumper's got to come off and battery. And they're like, well, we can do it ourselves and replace the battery. And they said, I believe the quote was $800 for a new battery. And this That's was hilarious because right. when I talked to them, they go, yeah, it was $800 for a new battery. But when we got to the battery and pulled it out, it straight up just said VW on it. And it was just like a VW part number. And I go, but you don't know if there's like some, you know, like the lithium batteries have like a chip in them. And, you know, like you just don't know if there's something slightly different. So you can't just get like a Jetta battery from Volkswagen. And I think they just paid the money and did it. But he was like, I don't see the difference. And they were trying to get a straight answer. And they're like, it's why am I paying $800 for a Golf battery? You know, like I don't know.
Because it has a Bugatti part number.
Yeah.
Okay. That part number is more expensive. Yeah.
Hey. I did the same thing. Sorry. I did the same thing. And if I could go back on that, Brad, real quick. So I just talked to a Bugatti owner, and because obviously Dad was interested, so I had a conversation. And the pump to opens the doors, the pump thing that opens the doors, he said needs to be serviced every service. And it's a $40,000 service. And he said they change out those pumps on every service because if they go out in between services, it's an $80,000 service because then they do the service. The maintenance on that car is nuts, like $14,000 brake pads. I mean, I'm throwing numbers out, but it is like that. It's just absolute madness. And I told Dad, I said, you don't want a Bugatti. So I'm going to call our friend Amy and I'm going to introduce Dad to Mr. Koenigsegg and say, Pop, you know, let's get you into something that you can drive, you can enjoy, that's way ahead of the game. And
while we're talking about electric cars and everything, we spoke on a previous show about Ford had teamed up with Tesla. Well, now Tesla owners, you're never going to get a charger because now GM announced this week that they have teamed up and the CEO was mentioning that they had originally had a $750 million budget for their charging systems. And they're going to save $400 million by teaming with Tesla on their charging systems and all of their charging stations. So I just think of this, guys. I drove that Tesla, you know, out to Thermal. And when I pulled in to charge it, as I told you on the show, there were 20 stations and I had to wait. And when I pulled in, six more Teslas pulled in waiting. Now you're going to have Matt there with his, his Ford Lightning truck, and you're gonna have Sammy Hagar. Oh no, Sammy's got a Ferrari. You're gonna have.
Well, he's got a LaFerrari, so I guess that doesn't apply.
You'd have to have an adapter.
Yeah,
but you're gonna have some guy sitting there with his, his GM car and his little Spark or his what do they call those? The little ones.
The Volt. They got the Volt and the Bolt.
Yes.
The Bolt, I think, is the one. Yeah.
And they're going to be sitting there with their adapters and click in and start going. And
new Chevy Silverado, which has a massive battery. Yes. Like, it's going to, you know, it's going to take some time.
And I am going to make a prediction right here that you're going to see some of the other manufacturers, and maybe not the manufacturers, but people that own, let's say, a Jaguar or something like that, go, oh, man, what am I doing? I'm just buying one of those adapters online, and I'm going to show up at the Tesla charger. Everybody else is there, you know?
It's not going to work. It's not going to work because they're going to read. There's a way to do it. They're going to read your VIN, and they're going to know if it's a GM or a Ford or whatever. And also, you're going to have to pay, which financially, this all makes sense, right? Because Ford and GM are going, great. We got access to 12,000 chargers, the best charger network in the country. And Tesla's going, now we can charge a bunch of people money to use our chargers, and it's a huge revenue source. It's like putting apps in the app store now, right? Like for Apple, it's like,
exactly. But yeah. I have started a company called Fast Charge LLC. We have already started buying the VINs of wrecked Teslas. And I have a guy creating an app right now. The chip will be implanted in the adapter. When they pull in, they will think it was that Tesla that, and later we're going to be buying Fords and Chevys. You can pull in and anything, man. Plug that sucker in and it'll say, hi, Bob Phillips, we're charging your account. It's awesome. I mean,
you joke about it, but you talked a couple of weeks ago about the little devices to steal cars that you can just buy online.
Just gave me an idea. While the guys are sitting there charging, I can have, like, people walk up and go, oh, sir, we have a new service. Just put them in a Tesla t-shirt, you know, and they walk up and go, oh, we actually plug it in for you. It's like full service. They scan, they get the info off of that person, you know.
Free charging for life. Yeah. Or until you get caught.
Wasn't that like Superman 3 in Office Space where they took fractions of a penny from every transaction? Brad's going to walk around and take fractions of charge from everybody's charge, and he's going to have all of this stuff charged for free.
We'll have these batteries that look like gas cans, and we'll plug them in and we'll dump the power into there, take them across the parking lot and sell them to the Jaguar people. You know?
So you guys, if you want to go into this from an expert point of view, I was at my godson's bar mitzvah.
Are you saying we're not experts?
No. My friend's brother-in-law, total petrol head like us. He's like, screw electric cars. This sucks. This is stupid. But he's an engineer. And at some point in his life, he got curious. And then he went down the rabbit hole. And now he lives at
camp. He got curious.
Totally. Yeah. So now he's off the grid completely, 100%. He does everything electric. He has the new Chevy, I guess, electric truck. And here I am. I laid into him hard. And he goes, well, let me tell you, I'm an expert. I'm an engineer. And we need to have a conversation. So we should have him on the show just for fun. He's a really nice guy. He's well-spoken. And in layman's terms, he'll kind of set us straight and we can drill him. Because I got to say, he's one of us. But he's like, I'm telling you, it's not as bad as you think, Aaron.
Aaron, what aspect isn't as bad that they hard to charge or
we should have him on because he sees the future and he's
does he live in California?
He lives in California and he's got all the info and he is extremely well educated in all this.
In August, when Gavin Newsom sends him an unwanted text on his phone that says, don't run the air conditioning in your house or plug in your electric car, let's have him on then.
He's totally off the grid.
He's 100% off the grid.
So does he have a windmill that's charging his car?
He's got a bunch of stuff. It's pretty badass, I have to say.
Okay, I understand that portion. That makes the argument for one person.
I'm down with it.
Like, if I own this building, I'd be putting solar panels all over the place, so I never have to pay for charging my truck. I'm totally down with that, and I'd be using it as the battery backup for my building as well. I'd be all in on that technology.
Yeah. It's a bit of an extreme situation, but at least we can get the facts from an expert. You know what I mean? Who is on our side? but he's trying to understand all this. So he took the plunge, and it's very interesting. Remember, yeah, he's on our side, but he took the plunge because he wants to experience it. And he's convinced. Yeah, he's convinced. But again, okay, off the grid.
One last electrical item. Then we'll go. I want to know about Aaron's art exhibit in Reno. But did you guys see that wicked little Honda racing go-kart? The all-electric one.
You're not talking about the one with the... No, that's not the one I was thinking of.
It's the Honda EGX racing car. And capable of... It's got two modular batteries in each side. Now, this is a concept at this point, but... You know, when you think of like electric go-karts, you think of the ones you go to and you race indoors at some warehouse.
Yeah.
This one is more for competition, you know, like the shifter cart type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's got the looks, it's got the speed. And as they said, when you go to one at an indoor go-kart, you know, they're, of course, very toned down. They don't go as fast. They don't have the torque that just puts you back in. They've really toned that back. These do. And I know what they're probably like because I don't know if I told you guys, Rick and I years ago were in Hong Kong and the airport used to be in the center of town in Hong Kong. And then they moved it out way out of town. You take a train to it now. They had converted the baggage claim area of the old airport into an indoor go-kart track. And it was the first time I ever drove electric go-karts. Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, you know, when you get outside of the US, some things are a little bit more fuzzy. You know, it's like these things had torque like you wouldn't believe. You could burn rubber in these things, man. Rick and I went there like three times. And we had...
Oh, I bet.
How does Rick fit in a go-kart?
Especially one in Hong Kong, but he did.
He's like an NBA player.
You know what was funny? Was they said, okay, go put a uniform and a helmet on. And Rick came out and the sleeves were like at his elbows.
He had short sleeves and shorts on, right?
Hey, Rick's got the capri pants.
Exactly. But this go-kart, if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's the Honda EGX. And if you're into go-kart racing, it's probably the future because even the batteries are really cool. They just come in these little compartments on either side.
Yeah, and they're cool.
Yeah, they just pull out. They're really neat.
On a similar topic with Honda, though, when you first brought it up in the notes, I was like, the Honda CRV hybrid.
Oh, that little race car they built
is the coolest little thing. Yeah. This is the thing that I talked to Dave Merrick and he was involved in. So this is this total like wide body. It looks kind of Gymkhana, a little more like a Pikes Peak kind of racer. Huge wings, front and rear, side scoops. It's a CRV slammed to the ground. It's got a hybrid technology. It's got electric motors in it. But they straight up just put the 2.2 liter twin turbocharged V6 IndyCar engine in it. And you got to watch like the video of the thing like moving because you see it start to like, you know, from a dead stop, it starts to move forward and you hear that EV whine, weed, and then it fires up the gas engine motor, but it fires up an IndyCar engine and it's, and it's so sick and it's just awesome. And it's just
didn't
you
talk about this before, Matt?
We talked about the one that was at SEMA that had just the IndyCar motor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And
one was pretty interesting because, you know, Dave and I went over and talked to the engineers and they had to do all this pre-warm and all this. I mean, it took 20 minutes to start that car because everything had to be warmed up. All the fluids had to be warmed up. And then they had to put that long super because it was not where an IndyCar would be, where the starter's just sticking out the rear.
Yeah.
And they had this like long extension and they had to put it in there and fire it up. Now this one, see, they keep perfecting it.
So that's more like a rebodied IndyCar.
Yes.
This one, they've mastered it because like it has the start stop feature of like a regular car, except when it fires up the engine, it's got an IndyCar engine. So it goes from quiet to, and it's already moving, right? So it just fires up. I don't know like how often you guys do this, maybe not so much in Tahoe, but I walk around here all the time, going for walks, walk the dog. And every time we cross the street, it's always weird to me when, you know, you're sitting there as a BMW, Mercedes or whatever at a stoplight, and then you're crossing the street and then you hear the cars like fire up. Because yeah. when you're in the car, you don't really hear it that much, right? But when you're walking around on the street, you're like, why are all these cars firing up? Like, what's going on? Is somebody
we all turn those off up here because
yeah,
we're
no, we turn it off too, yeah. but apparently a lot of drivers like to use it. But with this thing sitting at a stoplight, if it was able to do that, it was street legal, it would just jump, which is actually interesting because this is what the next Lamborghini, you know, the Aventador replacement, I forgot what they're calling it. They're like, no, we're going to have that. We're going to have an EV all-wheel drive, but with a V12 in the back. And the V12 sounds sick. So I'm curious to see what they do with that. But again, it's like, it's collectability, the battery technology. Do you buy the car? Like, I just don't know about this.
You know what, Matt? If you got that kind of money, you just go, I'll just keep it for a couple of years and somebody else's problem.
Well, what I think is going to happen is I think people are going to be paying more attention to the supercars, the last of the pure gas engine supercars that
definitely.
Are out there, you know,
like an F40 or something like that. Yeah.
Well, even modern stuff, you know, like Aston Martin just released the DB12. That's a gorgeous car. It's got an AMG V8. It's 600 and something horsepower. It's gorgeous. It's twin turbo V8, tons of power. That I think is a nice car to
have.
That'll
be great until the government outlaws gas powered vehicles.
Well, they won't prevent you from owning them. Hopefully, maybe in California, but they'll prevent you from buying them at some point in the future. And then what will happen is like we'll get what we've been saying the whole time is like we'll start getting like e-fuel and stuff like Porsche is using in racing.
Right. Yeah.
And then they'll go, well, now you can drive your gas powered cars if it runs e-fuel. And then so now you got to make that happen. And then they're going to
be okay with that.
I'd be okay with that. If it's high octane and it's clean burning you know, and it's more efficient than E85. I don't know if it really is, but if it was, that would, and it doesn't corrode like E85.
Well, I have a company that I'm developing calling RevShot.
LLC. RevShot LLC.
I'm working with the developers of the gunshot indicator. You know, the ones that the LAPD has where they zone right in on the gunshots. Well, RevShot, once they're illegal to have a gas-powered car, we're going to have RevShot going. And the police will be able to find that person, even if they start it in their garage.
Good.
Brad,
ahead
you, just
of it
ate up, you just ate up 53 seconds with that joke. 53 seconds. Well, let me throw this one at you. I might jump ship because I'm in love with the new Prius.
Oh, good. I
come on, man.
Something else, man.
I mean, come on.
The new Prius does look good, finally.
You put some wheels on that and a lower front lip and a rear diffuser and a wing, and that thing is pretty cool. Pretty cool. That
had me worried. You said you were going to jump ship and trade sides. I thought that you were going to have to be consoling Misha.
No, I would do some imitations, but that's going to get me in trouble.
I will go ahead and just disagree.
You don't like the Prius, huh?
I don't like it. I never really liked the Prius. And although it is a big improvement, this is a big improvement over what the Prius was. The look is way better than it was before. But I just don't think it's great. I just think it's a way better Prius. I think if you're a Prius owner, you look at this and go, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, that this is available.
I saw two driving down the road and I went, whoa, what Tesla is that? Because they're kind of Model 3 looking, right?
Maybe I got to see
it in person. It looks good. It sits low and it looks wide and it looks tough. I got to say, man, they nailed it. For me being such a Prius hater, they nailed that car.
I will reserve my judgment until seeing one in person.
I'm with Aaron in the point of that. I was driving down the road and I went, what kind of car is that?
Yeah, like, what is that?
Yeah. And I went, that's a Prius? And I'm not going to say I would run out and buy one.
No, of course not. Of course not.
I would say that it is a marked improvement over what it was. It's
a good looking car.
I'm sure it's that dorky kid in high school that finally got some cool kicks to wear. You know, I mean, he looks a little bit better.
Still
and
a nerd. Faster.
Tell us about the art show. What's going on? What are you doing?
Well,
what's going on, Aaron?
Real quick, because
how many years have you been putting this together and planning it?
1/360th of a year. So the National Auto Museum, the National Automobile Museum asked me the other day if I would like to, but we've already marketed this and Monday there'll be a big press conference. We would like your life's work in our museum. I have an 80-by-10-foot wing to house as many vehicles and art and artifacts and stuff as I can squeeze in there on Monday. Now it's Friday, folks. We're recording this on Friday, and Monday I have to start moving stuff in from zero. Now, I don't keep art in stock, and if I do, it's pretty minimal. It's the best sellers, and they're tagged and labeled for addition. So I have to produce, I don't know, 15, 18 prints of all scales, including like 44-by-70-inch for this event. It is mind-blowing. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I'm honored. I don't really know why me. I do, but I don't. It's incredible. Now, this is, you can have an art show in a gallery or some place, you know. But I mean, this is in the top 10 of the nation's finest automobile museums, and it's number 7. It's not even like it's 10, but by a tooth. It's number 7. Number 1 is of course the Peterson Museum. So to me, this is like having my work in the Peterson Museum. It's in that category of stuff. I mean, I'm looking online. They have the Batmobile. You know, they have the Back to the Future car. I see Kit in there. They have Elvis's cars. They have the Hera collection. What's left of the Hera collection? A lot of it got sold off. They've got a Morgan. They've got over 108,000 square feet of building. I mean, this place, if you look at it online, I was thinking, oh, okay, so it's this little auto museum in Reno. You know what's in Reno? Holy hell, this place is amazing, and they're curating a full show. So I'm gonna tell my
what
story.
What vehicles are you bringing down there?
So far, I'm bringing the Morgan. I'm bringing the old Mini with my uncle's Norton because that's a pairing. I'm bringing the TR3 rally car, which is very unique. I'm trying to bring things with character. I'm bringing the Cabo Wabo motorcycle. I will have probably my top rod in there because that's beautifully painted. I'm trying to tell that story. I'll have some welding equipment in there, all my motorcycle helmets. I'll have a lot of art. I'll have my other drawing table that I use at the shop set up. And so in between the cars, I think we're going to have these little micro sections that tell a story. But I mean, I literally have almost hours to figure this out and get it going. But I mean, thank you to Phil McDougall and Katrina Laughlin for just, I mean, wow. This is a big deal.
You're putting the Shift and Steer podcast banner.
I can.
If it's going to be in the trunk of one of the cars.
Okay, can you FedEx it overnight?
Congratulations. I think you absolutely deserve it. I'm such a big fan of your art. So you're incredibly talented. And I would love to see all of this in one place. Do you know how long the exhibit's going to run for?
So it's going to start. It's going to the opening, the reveal is going to be this Thursday, June 15th from 10 to 11. That's when the media is going to be there and we're going to pull the curtain, so to speak. But I'm not back from my trip until early September. So it'll be there at least for that. But you know, with any kind of success, it could be in there for quite a while. So at least count on a couple months.
So what a wonderful time to August nights, so people can go see it.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. So yeah.
What a wonderful time to move to the beach. Your shit's going to be moved over to a museum. If you could use that as storage for a while. Yeah,
so you couldn't do this during the winter?
Yeah. Right. What a great time to, you should tell them, hey, can I just take my shop, Rat Runner's Garage, and recreate it at your museum?
And then
I can move the rest of my house and then ship it all back.
If we had more time, that's what we're talking about. Because my walls are removable, the barnwood walls. I designed those to be a movie set when I first started my garage, because we were doing TV and I wanted to be able to take it to SEMA and set it up. And people go, oh my God, this is the actual set. And I'm like, yeah, because they're removable walls. We were going to actually, we talked about doing all that. The president, Phil was the president, and he came to the shop the other day, literally, and we talked for hours and kind of looked over everything and kind of came up with a story of, you know, I mean, fortunately I've kept so many things in my life that I can group them kind of as a story as things evolved. I'm going to try to run down the hill and get Dad's Woody Wagon, because that's a really good showpiece. It ties in and transitions the welding stuff when I hosted Torchmates TV show and we built that little, the little rum holder thing with the tiki. It transitions that into the Woody Wagon. So I'm trying to go down and grab the Woody Wagon, but that's a 7-hour day. I'm going to lose.
No, we saw that at the Quail a couple times.
Yes. Yeah. The Woody Wagon's a pretty well-known vehicle. And I'd love to have Red Voodoo, because that's my famous car, but that's in another museum in Oklahoma.
That's in the Kicker.
The Kicker Museum. Yeah. So
you're not really going to try and run down and get that car. Can't you put it in at a different day?
Well, and that's the thing is worst case scenario, I can add more art, I can add more cars, and we can grow grow this over the next few weeks, because I leave in July. I leave the first week of July for 2 months. So, and I still have to build out the Defender. So I'm waiting for some critical systems, which are arriving on or after the 15th. So the timing for what it is actually good. But I may run down and get it. Maybe I'll have someone bring it up here.
Reach out to some past clients of yours and go, hey, you remember that helmet I painted for you 2 years ago? Can I borrow that?
You know, I would, but I actually have 4 or 5 of them. People who have retired.
Other art pieces or whatever. I just didn't.
I do a lot of portraiture and it's kind of private. So this is automotive. So I'm trying to keep everything within that automotive theme. I've got probably at least 12 to 14 helmets. So I can put a few of those in there.
Yeah. Okay.
And some of them are X-race helmets and things of that nature. But I have plenty of stuff.
I just don't want you to like get an idea in your head and then you're like, Misha, drive to Reno while I paint something.
No, you know what? I was thinking, okay, if I pull an all-nighter, I could actually paint a new welding helmet so I can keep this one and put that one in. No, I'm not doing any of that. Yeah.
No, listen, you can weld in a helmet that has no paint on it. You could just just grab another Lincoln helmet and do what you need to do and then put the others in the museum.
Exactly. Right? I've got a couple in boxes in the storage locker. So
when this opens next Thursday, okay, and you got those big bags under your eyes because you've been working on it. When it opens, make sure you get a photo, you know, of the opening and send us the relevant information so we can put it up on the website and Instagram. So that when people go to Reno, they can, because, you know, they're going to go, oh, there was something. They can just go to our Instagram or our website and find it. So
absolutely.
Yeah. What we should do is on our Facebook pages and Twitter and stuff, let's pin it up there. Let's pin it so you can leave it up there for a couple of months.
Thank you. Yeah. So if you want to see some of this stuff in person, as well as like, oh, my God, stuff like my stuff's cool and fun. But oh, my God, they have, you know, Elvis's cars. Do look up the National Automobile Museum in Reno. It is spectacular. I mean, it's not just a big empty warehouse with a bunch of cars in it. It's
automuseum.org.
Yeah, automuseum.org. Thank you, automuseum.org. And I mean, they build full-on backdrops and sets. And we're talking about doing a barnwood wall that they may move it into a larger space. We discussed this morning. So, you know, basically they're giving me complete carte blanche on anything I want to do, including building stuff. So if this is popular and successful and we want to have some sort of permanent exhibit, we can do that. It's pretty awesome. I mean, wow. I could think of a million other people, and including you guys, Brad, you too, who are far more deserving. I'm really honored.
Are you going to have art in the gift shop for sale?
You know, I was thinking about that. That's something that we will discuss. I don't know how that works, but I would think we should have art and decals and things for people to take home. Absolutely. I think that's a discussion.
Yeah, because, you know, we used to have our apparel and our watches in the Peterson.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. You know, it was,
yeah.
You know, people come from all over and they converge in there. So,
and how cool would that be?
Yeah. Good. Wow. Good for you, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, we've got a few minutes left, just a couple minutes, but Matt, you've been driving a lot of cars, man, these 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, but this week you drive something that most people can afford. What was it?
I'm driving the Toyota Corolla Hybrid, and it's good. So the 2023 Toyota Corolla.
You picked this one up at the airport?
No, although I got into it, I was like, this is a kind of a nice rental car. So the Toyota Corolla, the refresh of the car, I think has been around for a couple of years, but the hybrid all-wheel drive that I have now is a little different. I believe it uses the electric motor in the back, because these are front-wheel drive cars, so it uses the engine in the front as a front wheel drive. So it's a 1.8 liter, four cylinder. And, maybe it does have a front electric in the front and the rear, but it's 138 horsepower combined. Now I will say this, the Toyota Corolla is slow. This one is faster, but still slow. So however, that's not
why
you're
getting this. Is this relative slow, or is this like just flat out slow?
Oh, like 0 to 60 in like 9.7. It'll run 17-second quarter mile. It's flat out slow. Compared to so many of the things that we drive. But look, you mentioned Prius a minute ago, and Toyota's take on like EVs is their CEO is going, I'm not buying into this full on EV technology yet. He's like, hybrid is still very much a contender and does sort of fall into the realm of like, when California goes, hey, no more gas engine cars after, well, if it has a hybrid, I believe it does fall into the category of being legal. And you're talking about a car that gets 47 miles per gallon city, 41 highway and 44 combined, right? So this is 40 plus miles per gallon. I have a short commute, you know, from here to my house. It's like 3 miles. There's a few stoplights, and trying to pay attention to like when it goes into EV mode and for how long, and then, you know, whatever. And I'm still averaging about 39 miles per gallon on it, according to what is showing up in the screen. I've been driving it for a week and it doesn't look like the fuel gauge has moved at all. And the total range on this thing, by the way, is 502 miles, like combined, wow. You know, on average, like 500 miles to a tank of gas.
Twice as much as my
pretty
Jeep.
Significant.
Yeah. Literally.
Now, that being said, it's got a great new look. I'm driving the one that's like kind of dark gray with the 18-inch wheels that are like kind of blacked out. And, you know, they're like a dark gray blacked out grill treatment. They made it look tougher. The interior is good. It's pretty conventional. It's not like I've got cloth seats and there's no leather and everything, but there's soft touch materials everywhere. The dash is soft touch, the door panels and stuff has the soft touch kind of leather-esque, you know, kind of material in it, which gives it a little bit more personality, a little bit more texture to it. It has Apple CarPlay, not just that, it's wireless CarPlay. So once you connect, you're good. It handles pretty well compared to previous generations. I think it pulls like 0.83 on the skid pad. So it's, you know, it's not meant to be super sporty, but it does well. And, you know, the braking from 60 to 0 is 125 feet, which pretty much beats out like any Corolla in the past. Now, when you get into this, to this market, you have to start to pay attention to things like Hyundai Elantra hybrid, because there's a lot of competition now that's been popping up. And some of the other things that we've been driving, even Genesis, a little bit more expensive. Genesis is more of the luxury market brand, but you know, this car comes in at about 30 grand, and 30 grand is at the high end for a Toyota Corolla. But it is the all-wheel drive hybrid version of it. So for about $30,000, you get yourself a pretty nice car.
All
so
around was, good car.
An all-around good car.
Let me ask you this. So EV West and all these companies are doing full conversions to electric. How much harder or easier would it be just to do a hybrid conversion if that's going to be legal in the petrol war? Like, for instance, my vintage Mini Cooper, okay? I've got the LE40, which is a fuel-injected four-cylinder, just like the classic Mini Coopers. But that thing's getting up near the 40 mile per gallon. I mean, I'm getting 30-something miles per gallon, almost 40, and I drive it like a maniac. And it only has a 7-gallon gas tank, and I'm getting a full range out of it like I do a regular car. But, you know, it's got a lot of room in the back, and you take out that spare and you use that whole lower compartment with a hybrid system that runs electric motors to the rear wheels because it's front wheel drive. Why isn't that a viable option? It'll add some weight, but now you're transferring weight 50-50 in a little tiny car and extending that range and longevity over its lifetime into the future. So I would say
it might be a little bit more difficult because you're going to have to do a few things. First and foremost, it's going to come down to the computer and programming.
Right.
A company like AEM. Because
it is fuel injected.
Right. So AEM is going to have to make something that works because AEM is kind of the leader in the aftermarket EV ECUs right now, right?
Yeah.
Like when Ford did their F-100, that white one that was electric.
Yeah.
They basically took a Mach-E platform, but then AEM did the electronics on it and they made it work. So two things is one, your Mini Cooper is going to have to be able to do the remote, the automatic start stop because it's you can't run the motor all the time. And then somehow that motor is going to have to charge the battery or maybe moving the car charges the battery. But that being said, if you look at Ford's little electric motor that they have in their catalog, right, the Eluminator, I think is what they called it. And it's like 190 horsepower, small engine with like you can get like half shafts off the back. If you put that in the back of your Mini Cooper, run the gas engine in the front. If AEM or somebody could tie it together,
electronic gas pedal.
Yeah, but it's more than that because now you're sharing power and torque and you know like. We brought this question up to Dave Merrick a while ago. And we said, hey, new NSX, when it came out, we're like, that thing's cool as shit. What happens to the electric motors in the front if we modify the gas engine in the back, if we increase power? And he said, it's complex, but the ECU starts to compensate for that. It's all going to come down to the programming. Yeah, because if you said, hey, I added 40 horsepower and maybe it's got quicker rev or a snappier throttle, the ECU compensates with the electric motors, how it handles the electric motors. So basically they're just doing it going, if gas engine does one, then EV does two in code, zeros and ones or ones and twos or whatever. Right. And if you increase the gas engine, you know, then the multiplier changes. So if it comes down to the programming, I think that's a great question for a company like AEM because they're getting their hands around the EV.
Let's have them on the show.
Oh, the one comment I can make on that, if you did that, Aaron, you would absolutely have to make sure that the polarity in the motors was correct. Otherwise,
I think by the time the Mini Cooper hit that they were using a negative ground and not a positive earth.
Yeah. Okay, so we covered a bunch in this episode. We had
a good show.
And be sure to check out Aaron's exhibit that's coming up starting by the time this airs.
Yeah.
It'll be just days away. So
I'll be in full panic mode.
You're going to Reno. Check it out at the National Auto Museum and as Matt said, automuseum.org. So Hey, everybody. Guys, I want to ask Matt a question. Matt, where can they find us online?
Oh, give us a follow at Shift Steer Media on social media, and shiftandsteer.com is the website.
Yeah. How about yourself, Matt?
You can find me at Motorator everywhere, and Drink Bravago.
Yeah,
I do.
And you can find me in full panic mode at Aaron Hagar, where panic is sold.
There you go. And check me out at Bradley_Fanshaw. And you know what? All kinds of good stuff at all of our locations. But I want to tell you one thing. We're going to be back next week. And as I always say, that's a promise, not a threat. So this is Shift and Steer. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.